there's the statistic that says 52% of donors say they trust nonprofits, and that 68% say their understanding of the work would increase that trust. So with our online fundraising approach, we're focused on increasing the transparency and communicating the actual work that's being done and the potential impact of a dollar and the support of a donor, whether that's one time or ideally on a sustainable recurring type basis. So, we've learned a lot about testing that. One thing that's surprising about that is when we gave donors the option to designate their donation across different programs and initiatives, including overhead expenses, only one out of 10 donors actually made that decision to designate that donation.
My guest today on Mission Impact is Pooya Parakh. Pooya and I talk about the importance of transparency in fundraising, humanizing donor cultivation and testing, and questioning long-held nonprofit status quo assumptions. I appreciated the work that Pooya and Achnice is doing to test some hypotheses on what might shift donors' perspectives on giving, especially around the element of trust in nonprofit institutions. Unfortunately, as trust in institutions in our country has declined, trust in nonprofits has declined as well. Helping people understand what their money is going towards is important. And yet, when given the choice, this didn't actually mean that donors wanted their gift designated to a specific thing. I think there have been some assumptions that donors will always prefer the option to designate their gift to something concrete. Yet, when you communicate in concrete terms what you do and what results your work produces, this can help folks get excited about being involved in supporting your work and your organization. And yet, being concrete does not actually mean they will not be willing to support your organization generally and be willing to let you decide where to put the donation to use. Yet, being specific about what your impact is can be challenging, and some shy away from trying to map out the logic of their impact model and then measure their results because they think that the only way to do so is to the level of being able to actually prove their impact. Attempting to go to that level of actual proof, especially in the realm of human behavior, can be very challenging and resource intensive. It would mean being able to set up a control group to be able to compare results and tease out the exact impact of your program and services. And like many things, this is not a choice of all or nothing. I often lead groups through the process of mapping their impact by creating a logic model for a program or sketching out the organization's overall theory of change. This process helps everyone involved get a clear picture of all the elements that it takes to deliver the program, as well as the expected short, medium, and long-term outcomes. And with that mapped out visually, you now have the opportunity to identify your assumptions, what needs to be true for you to achieve those outcomes. And when you identify your outcomes, short, medium, and long term, these are all really hypotheses that can now be tested. For example, I might hypothesize that a short-term outcome of someone listening to this podcast would be that they would look up a resource that I mentioned or the guest that's featured. But I don't actually know that's true until I'm able to connect with listeners and ask you about your actions that you took based on the podcast. And with that in mind, I will actually be launching a listener survey in the not-too-distant future. In the nonprofit situation, asking participants might be in the form of a short survey right after an interaction. It might be a focus group a couple months later, after the program's ended, or an interview a year later for longer-term results. All of this helps you be more specific in not just what you put into grant reports, but also what you're able to tell your individual donors about your impact. Mission Impact is the podcast for nonprofit leaders who want to build a better world without becoming a martyr to the cause. I'm Carol Hamilton, your podcast host and nonprofit strategy consultant. On this podcast, we explore how to make your organization more effective and innovative, and we dig into how to build organizational cultures where your work in the world is aligned with how you work together as staff, board members, and volunteers. And all of this for the purpose of creating greater mission impact. Mission Impact is brought to you by Grace Social Sector Consulting. Grace Social Sector Consulting brings you whole brain strategy consulting for nonprofits and associations. We help you move your mission forward, engage all voices, and have fun while doing it. We combine left brain strategy and analysis with right brain wisdom about human complexities for a proven whole brain, whole organization process through which every stakeholder thrives. Reach out to us for support and facilitation of strategic planning, mapping your social impact, as well as auditing your services for mission alignment. We especially love working with staffed nonprofits and associations with human-centered missions. So welcome, Puya. Welcome to Mission Impact. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here. I love missions and I love impact. So thank you for hosting me.
Yes, I love those two things too. And when they go together and there is truly an impact, it's a wonderful thing. So tell me, what drew you to the work that you're currently doing? What would you say motivates you and what would you describe as your why?
Great. I love that question. My personal why has been connecting with and helping others for really since after high school. So it's been something that's been core to the way I try to operate. My professional background is diverse. I started out in, working for Fortune 500, Delta Airlines, saw how philanthropy worked in a massive organization like that. And throughout my whole career, I've been working to listen to the needs of people who are working to serve others, whether that customer is an airline passenger or someone who needs shelter and other assistance. So my other part-time focus is actually consulting in health and human services. So really looking at the most underserved communities in the United States and identifying ways to improve service and care for everyone involved. So I've been naturally moving towards the direction of social impact throughout my whole career. And really when I got more involved as a volunteer and saw a glimpse of kind of the inside out of a nonprofit organization, that things just clicked. I got really excited about the amount of opportunities that there are to scale and improve impact and serve others. And so I started this journey in the nonprofit sector in 2018, and I don't see that journey of discovery ever stopping.
Yeah, one of the things that I went back and listened to your first episode of your podcast, The Nonprofit Lab, and you were talking about how you and maybe, I'm not sure, your co-founders of Match Nice are relatively new to the sector. So 2018, that's a little while now, but still, I probably have that... the curse of knowledge of having been in the sector since the early 90s. And so I'm really curious, from kind of coming as a outsider into the sector, what are some of the things that you've observed about the sector?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. And folks like you who have that extensive institutional knowledge of the sector are so important to the opportunities that we've learned about and heard about as part of the Nonprofit Lab. So the focus of the Nonprofit Lab has always been to try to uncover status quo practices that may not be in the best interest of nonprofit organizations, the people who work at nonprofits, as well as donors and the communities that they serve. So to pull some data into this, surveys say that nonprofits mention donor engagement, donor acquisition, and donor retention as their top three organizational challenges or points of focus. On the other hand, we have donors where only 52% of donors say that they trust a nonprofit organization. 68% say that understanding the work that nonprofits do increases their trust naturally. And we're looking at this equation and saying, if our goal at Match Nice is to help nonprofits raise more money online, how do we look at the biggest challenges that both nonprofits and donors are facing today and start from that point of listening as outsiders? And, you know, 5 years is not 20 years, but we're lucky to have a team of great advisors. Shout out to Laura Otten from LaSalle University, who's on our advisory board. She's got 50 years of experience in the sector. So we're learning every day, and happy to go into a lot more of that.
So two things that you mentioned as you were talking about the work that you do with Match Nice kind of jumped out at me was the status quo practices that really aren't helpful to the sector. And then actually some of the language that I think nonprofits use about donors. And the one that really struck me was donor acquisition. And I'm thinking, as a donor, I don't really know that I want to be acquired. It feels very dehumanizing. And we use a lot of language kind of inherited maybe from our entire society that we live in that is very market focused and you know, ends up treating people like machines. But that was just one that just jumped out at me as you were talking.
I love that you pointed that out, because the language that's used around fundraising in particular is certainly one of the status quo areas for growth, right? I think what I've seen is a really positive wave of change happening in fundraising discussions, where donors aren't treated as just walking checkbooks, and where it's a lot more focused on building and cultivating mission-aligned relationships that are genuine and, you know, longer term. It's less transactional.
So what are some of the things that you're seeing or that you know, to help people shift out of those kind of status quo assumptions of how we have to do this work in order to raise money that are actually getting in the way? What are some of those practices? And then what might you think about differently about them?
Yeah, as I said, there's a lot of opportunities. when we try to make sense of everything we've heard over the last 5+ years and learned about, is you can almost tie every opportunity back to the scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset. I know that's brought up a lot, and it's oftentimes just used as kind of a blanket statement that doesn't have the substance of what does that actually mean. But it shows up in different ways. You know, looking at partnerships with other nonprofits as potentially competitive versus collaborative. In terms of measurement, right? Impact, we talked about mission and we talked about impact, and being able to actually track and measure the work that you're doing, and to be able to look in the mirror and say, are we improving or do we need to make a change? You know, diversifying fundraising sources, not being super dependent on just one major gift giver, looking at different ways to raise money. You know, sustainability, right? Thinking about programming that can generate revenue for your organization. One of the biggest misconceptions is that nonprofits aren't like businesses. And if you've ever worked or seen a nonprofit in action, it absolutely operates very similarly, with, of course, a very high focus on impact. And speaking on that, like moving from this money-centric organizational focus to impact-centric, I think it's really easy to get caught up in here's what we need to do, but really focusing on cultivating what you are doing really well. And nonprofits are some of the scrappiest organizations I've seen, very similar to startups in many cases. You know, I could go on. Those are some of the big ones. You know, we talked about the importance of relationships, personalization. There's a big kind of conversation around digital maturity for nonprofits that we could talk about as well. But I will stop there.
Well, we started out with, you know, the statement that is often made about kind of that scarcity mindset that nonprofits are stuck in. And I feel like that ends up being a little bit of a thing to kind of hammer at people, like, you know, you're doing it wrong. It's an accusation. And when the reality is, well, we're our reality is scarcity. Like, we're barely making our budget, and we have, you know, three generation old computers and all those kind of tropes. And being stuck in it obviously isn't super helpful. So without kind of, I don't know, making folks feel even worse about where they are, how do you help them step into, you know, being able to feel more abundant about what they're doing?
Yes, that's such a great point. Like, how are we talking about this in terms of opportunities? And as I mentioned earlier, there's a really positive wave of change that we're seeing around everything that we're discussing in those status quo practices that I mentioned. Of course, these things don't like change overnight in terms of the 1.5 million plus nonprofits in the United States alone. But I feel like the sector is moving in a really positive direction, and it's cool to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. What surprised you kind of coming into the sector again, you know, back to 2018 and, you know, the last 5 years or so? What's kind of surprised you in terms of what you've learned and through talking to all the folks that you've talked to kind of ground yourself in the context?
Yeah, I think just trying to wrap my head around the nonprofit ecosystem as a whole, and just seeing how many different stakeholders are required to provide the kind of holistic care that nonprofits aim to provide to the people, oftentimes the people that they and causes that they serve. So, you know, starting at the view of just the nonprofit and, oh, how are they partnering with other nonprofits? How do they fit into their community? Are they complementary or competitive in terms of the programming they're doing? How do donors play into that equation? Feedback from the communities that are being served, foundations, corporations, the rise of donor-advised funds, legislation, policy.
It's a lot.
It's one of those things where if you pull the thread, like, you're going to keep pulling for a while. So looking at the goal of trying to connect that ecosystem and maximize social impact is the mission at Match Nice and what we're focused on. And we're starting with just fundraising as a stepping stone towards this much bigger effort that's and movement that we're seeing in the sector.
And you talked about quite a few opportunities that you see. And you listed a whole bunch. But if you were to say, okay, the top one to three in my estimation are these, which would you name?
So I would say the top two things that we're focused on are two hypotheses that we've tested around generosity and online giving. So I mentioned that there's this statistic that says 52% of donors say they trust nonprofits, and that 68% say their understanding of the work would increase that trust. Mm. So with our online fundraising approach, we're focused on increasing the transparency and communicating the actual work that's being done and the potential impact of a dollar and the support of a donor, whether that's one time or ideally on a sustainable recurring type basis. So, you know, we've learned a lot about testing that. One thing that's surprising about that is when we gave donors the option to designate their donation across different programs and initiatives, including overhead expenses, only 1 out of 10 donors actually made that decision to designate that donation. We thought that was interesting. And some of the thoughts we had around the behavior for that is maybe most donors don't feel like they have the full knowledge to say where the money needs to be used and what the greatest need is. So unrestricted donations seem to be the preferred path. The second thing that we're testing is the power of a like gift or matching donation. So there's another stat that says 84% of donors, unsurprisingly, say they're more likely to donate when there is a matching gift involved. So actually this month, we've been testing this stat by offering five nonprofits a $500 online donation matching grant through CharityVest. Shout out to CharityVest for making that possible. And next month, we're going to test that again in the new year, but focused instead of on just one-time donations, on recurring donations, right? Like, hey, if you get 10 donors to sign up for $20 a month, there's this $500 grant just waiting for you. So we're really interested in this equation of like, how do you inspire more giving in a giving climate right now that is the lowest it's been in 40 years?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, annual giving from individuals has decreased by 13% adjusted for inflation. And there's only three other times in over the last 40 years where there's been such a huge drop in individual giving. So we're really interested in how to help flip that equation.
Well, one of the things you said, you talked about how, and I want to make sure that I understood what you were saying. You were saying when you gave people the option to, I guess, either designate to a specific thing or not designate. Did I hear you right in you saying that 9 out of 10 people chose not to give it to a specific thing?
Yeah, and we loved seeing that because one thing we've heard from nonprofits around fundraising is that unrestricted funds
are the Holy Grail.
and we want to promote that. That allows nonprofits to test new things, be more innovative, step outside of that, like doing, you know, dependent on all these resources, just, you know, it really helps embrace this growth mindset around all that, which is great.
And then the other thing you said was for the other part around matching and that inspires more giving. And what you were saying is you were looking at whether it could also inspire more, you know, someone signing up for a recurring gift, which is another kind of, I mean, I'm not a fundraising expert, but just having been around long enough, I know a few things. So, like, I think that's another one that people are definitely always trying to move people towards. And so, yeah, it's interesting to hear those two pieces that so many different tactics or whatnot are trying to move people towards that. Can you give me an example of what you mean by or how you're seeing it be helpful to help people, help the donors understand the work better and help the, I guess I would guess, my assumption would be that part of it is also helping the nonprofit kind of actually move out of that expert curse of knowledge and be able to tell their story in some effective way. So I'm curious if you can give me some examples around that. You're testing kind of at this level, but then when you're working with individual nonprofits, how are they putting that into action? What's making it work for them? And an example.
Yeah. So one of the most important things we've learned about all the various testing that we've done with making the online donation experience easy, you know, informative, communicative of impact and transparency, and all of that has been really great, you know, providing the context around giving. But we've learned it's kind of all for naught if you don't have a communication and fundraising drumbeat as an organization. That's what draws people to want to give. It's interacting with your organization at an event or in person or seeing the impact that you're creating. It's a very people-to-people, you know, type of in, you know, relationship, obviously. And what we're thinking with the matching that we're really excited about is it just inspires more giving. Carol, if I say, hey, I'll put $100 in if you put $100 in, or hey, if you donate $100, your donation is going to be matched 100%. Like, I think we can double the amount of giving through this approach for nonprofits and also inspire more donors to come together to increase and maximize the potential impact of our donations.
And I'm wondering if you might give me an example of kind of for a specific organization, what might that look like? And obviously not naming names or you know, we'll keep the innocent and the guilty anonymous, but just kind of, you know, an organization you've worked with that where you've seen some success with all of this.
Totally. And I should say that we're currently focused on grassroots nonprofit okay. organizations with budgets of less than $1 million a year. So that's 90 sure. plus percent
yes.
of nonprofits out there. And each nonprofit is unique. Each nonprofit has different sets of, you know, board engagement to technology activation to fundraising knowledge and web presence and program definition. You can't really treat any one nonprofit the same. You could offer the same tools, but sure. every one of our customers has had, you know, different types of needs. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, to kind of complement what I was saying before about a donation experience doesn't really work if you're not engaging donors in a meaningful way. We have helped with kind of integrating the communication to like drive people to the donation page. We've helped with kind of donor segmentation and different strategies for how you communicate with your casual donor versus a major gift, you know, giver. We've looked at the role of technology and how we can support nonprofits there. So we're surprised to see, you know, most nonprofits aren't taking advantage of things like Google for nonprofits for the workspace. There's a $10,000 a month Google Ads grant that's out there. And we actually went through the process of trying to set those things up for a couple of our customers. And I can see why nonprofits aren't using this as much. It is, it's not as simple as you think it is. There's tons of verification back and forth. Issues that could come up. So, but you know, there's all of these different pieces should follow a fundraising strategy, right? And I think one of the missing pieces that can happen, especially in grassroots nonprofit organizations, is to have many different activities going on, like fundraising and programming and serving, but not really looking to what does this look like? How do we sustain this for the next year, 3 years, 5 years? So hopefully that gives some examples.
Yeah, and that goes back to that kind of scarcity or, you know, when you're being that scrappy organization, it's all about, you know, just you're constantly kind of on that treadmill of what's next. And it's hard to think long term when you're kind of stuck in that frenzy. But one thing you talked about was kind of this more positive direction that you see in terms of the kind of the future of the sector. What are some of the kind of big opportunities that you see as we move forward?
Yeah, times are moving fast right now with the advent of AI, and it's being applied to so many different things, accelerating things that would take hours to do into seconds. And I think there's a massive opportunity for the sector to leverage AI, and there are so many different possible use cases for that. I think the important thing to consider with the introduction of artificial intelligence, generative AI, all of that is to not lose the humanity of what nonprofits bring. You know, one out of 10 people in the United States approximately work for a nonprofit. And there's, you know, millennials are the next generation of nonprofit executive directors and board members. So, you know, with that generational shift, there's also going to be some, you know, shifts that happen in the sector that we're really interested to see and understand. And, you know, also thinking about how Gen Z is going to be giving, right? So every generation has their own preferences of communication and styles of, you know, seeking information, connecting, volunteering. And I think as we move forward into the next year, all these things are going to become more and more prominent and important as we look to the next 5+ years.
Yeah, I feel like just in the last couple weeks, every app I open that I use on a regular basis, I now see something that's saying, you know, AI assistant is going to help you do X or Y or Z. And so, you know, the many technologies that we rely on are integrating it and have been integrating it in ways that maybe we didn't even realize for a while. But I also appreciate the point around, you know, I think maybe what can differentiate the sector is that if we stay on mission, and if we, you know, really are focused on impact, is staying really human-centered and people first. And that's not always true for every organization, whatever their mission is, in terms of, you know, how they treat their employees and kind of all of that. And that's really what got me started in terms of trying to work with organizations on their effectiveness and that organization development. But I think it can be a real special part of the sector if we pay attention.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned pay. And one of the things I want to just be another voice for is the difference in the private sector versus the nonprofit sector and the amount of work that's happening between the two sectors, in my opinion, from what I've seen, merits a pay increase for everyone working at a nonprofit. And the status quo of donors fixating on overhead ratios has to change. It needs to be more focused on mission delivery and the respect that people who are delivering that mission are not just critical for all that to happen, but deserve to be compensated fairly. That's going to take a while, and I hope to be a part of that change in the sector in the future as well.
Well, that's awesome. And that leads me to my final question. So on every episode, I ask each guest, what permission slip would they give nonprofit leaders, or what would they invite them to consider to avoid being a martyr to the cause and as they work towards cultivating a healthier organizational culture? So I know that's a kind of a mouthful, and then I've got a train going by. So it's a permission slip or an invitation to nonprofit leaders on basically how not to be a martyr to the cause.
Yeah, what a great question. My message would be, you don't have to solve all of the world's problems. And I think it can be really hard to work in a space where there's a never-ending need for the services that nonprofits provide our communities, our states, our nation. But to keep the perspective of the impact, collective impact that you're part of, and that these efforts are super important and valiant, and in many ways, like a core part of the healing for our nation. And, you know, just to not get lost in like the global picture, it's the focus on what's right in front of us, the local impact, state level impact, federal, you know, national impact that will change the world.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that because I've talked to lots of people about shifting from that mindset of I'm in competition with all these organizations to how can we be collaborative? How can we focus in on how we can be complementary versus, you know, competitive and partnerships and all of those kinds of things. But it starts with even just mapping what is the ecosystem that you're in and being aware of that you're not in it alone, even though it can feel like that for sure.
Yeah. How can we connect more dots between nonprofits and everyone else to make a bigger impact?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for hosting, Carol. You're an incredible host, by the way. Appreciated all of your questions. Definitely a big fan of your podcast.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I really appreciate the time you spend with me and my guests. You can find out how to connect with Puya, his full bio, the full transcript of our conversation, as well as any links and resources mentioned during the show in the show notes at missionimpactpodcast.com/show notes. I want to thank Isabel Strauss Riggs for her support in editing and production, as well as Chardet Carbonell of 100 Ninjas for her production support. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a colleague or a friend. We really appreciate you helping us get the word out. And until next time, thank you for everything you do to contribute and make an impact.